Well, I'm Pastor Rob Lemon, and welcome to those of you that are joining us through the window back there. God bless you for coming. You're at Holiday Shores Baptist Church in Edwardsville, Illinois. And it's been a cold morning. It's trying to spit some snow out there, but maybe where you are, there's snow on the ground. We don't have that. We're grateful about that. And one thing I know for sure is God said the seasons will continue. So I know we'll get to spring one of these days. And I think I'm ready for it. I really am. Father, I pray that you might burden our hearts and yet excite us over what we're going to talk about this morning. Thank you that Jesus is coming soon. As we just sang, soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. And we ought to be excited about that. And so help us to understand and to just be fired up by what you are doing and going to do in our world. Thank you so very much. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are living, I believe, in spiritually epic times. And what I mean by that is I believe that we're living in the days right before Jesus comes. I want to give you some evidence of why I believe that to be true today. But, you know, I really want to be aware if I'm living in that time frame, and I think I am, and I want all of us to be ready. I want to be aware. I want to be ready. I want all of us here to be aware and ready. You know, there are four times in human history where God did some really powerful things, miracles and communication and demonstration of his power. Let me show you what those are. The first was during the time of Moses and Joshua when God brought Israel out of Egypt and into the promised land. The second one is around the ministries of Elijah and Elisha as he's trying to call Israel back to himself. And then the third period is when Jesus arrived and he's doing miracles and he's blessing, he's healing and he's blessing people and doing amazing things, and then that carries on into apostles. So those are the first three times that we see just amazing things happening on earth. But there's one more period, and I believe it's our day, the days here right before the Lord Jesus comes. You know, most of the time of history, actually, God was silent. And a few weeks ago, we talked about Zechariah there in the temple, and maybe that's why Zechariah was so shocked when all of a sudden there's an angel standing there in the holy place, because God hadn't said anything for 400 years. And now, all of a sudden, he's starting to speak again. He's beginning that awesome, epic time of Jesus and into the time of the apostles. We are in the last days. I have never been more convinced of that in my life. And the Bible tells us a lot of things that are going to happen in those days. Now, I've preached on the signs of the times before, so a message like this shouldn't surprise you. But I think it's time for an update. That's what I want to do. Here are some of the signs I used to talk to you about why I knew Jesus was coming very, very soon. And they were signs like Israel is going to be back in their ancient land as a nation. The Bible indicated that all the way through the Old Testament, through the teaching of the New. And, you know, that happened in 1948. Some of you were alive in 1948. And you saw and heard the news, and what a tumultuous time that was for the land and the people of Israel as they went back to their land. You know that Jesus could not have come before that because Israel had to be back in their land for Jesus to come. And then we've also talked about Israel is surrounded in the end times by nations that really do hate them. And we've seen that out of the Islamic nations ever since 1948. Now, maybe in some cases they have a legitimate beef, But other times, I think they make up a lot of stuff. But still, it's true that the Bible makes it clear, especially Ezekiel 37 and 38, that in the last days, Israel's going to be surrounded by a people group that hates them. And, you know, you watch, I was looking at some of the numbers at the United Nations this past week in preparation for this. It's amazing how much time the United Nations has spent scolding Israel for what basically is just defense of their nation and their land. And they have spent a whale of a lot of time on Israel. So there's a lot of anti-Semitism going on in the world today, and you can find articles about that from time to time. Another sign that we used to point at, and we still do, in Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22, there's an indication that there will be weapons in the last days that can destroy the earth. Before 1945 and the explosion of the nuclear bomb over Japan, people might have wondered about that, but you know, that bomb over Japan was a little baby. They called it a big boy, but it wasn't. Now they've got the big boys, and if there was ever an exchange of nuclear weapons between our country and any other country, there would be an incredible amount of damage. But the Bible predicts it, and so we know that Jesus has to come there at the end of the tribulation time, or the world would destroy itself. Another sign that I think is really interesting is that Revelation 11:9 indicates that there are going to be two prophets that are going to be killed, and the people hate them so much that their bodies just lay in Jerusalem for 3 days, 3.5 days, and they put the television cameras on them, and all the world just watches the bugs and the flies come in and feast. You say, that's gross. It is. But, you know, from the scriptures, we understand then that it's going to be in a time, Jesus is going to come in a time when you can be anywhere in the world and see an event from anywhere else in the world. And it's amazing that we're living in those times. Last week, I was watching the Bengals game, and I saw Damar Hamlin, the Bills safety, when he got hit in the tackle and went down on the field. You know, that's in Cincinnati. That's a long way away from here. And yet we were able to watch it. And a lot of people around the world were watching that game. And so Bible predicts mankind can see events in one location from anywhere in the world. We have TV, and we've had cable abilities, network news ever since, I think, the 1980s. And so we're well into that one as well. I read something in a book that Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer, he didn't understand how Revelation could be a literal book because he just didn't understand how those things could be. How could these things happen? How can you have weapons that destroy the whole world? How can you see all around the world an event that's happening in one place in Jerusalem? And he just sort of, you know, he started spiritualizing the book of Revelation. But, you know, we have them right now in our world, so we understand, and we understand how right the Bible is. Today, I want to expand that list. Those are ones we would have brought to you in the past. And I want to show you some things that are going on right now that demonstrate we're in the last days. And the last days are breathing down our necks. Now, you don't understand what that phrase means, don't you? That was a good old Ohio phrase that I grew up with sometimes. Breathing down your neck, that means it's so close you can feel the hot breath of the beast that's coming, and he's so close behind you, you can feel his breath on your neck. Now, I don't mean this message to be discouraging, nor a downer for you. Rather, I want us to realize that Jesus is coming. And we are living in those days, and we ought to be ready for it. And it's exciting because in the middle of the chaos, we know how it's going to end. And we know Jesus is going to come, and he's going to take care of us each step along the way. Now, I need to give credit where credit is due. I get a little, this message was not on my radar screen in December until I got a little prophecy paper that's put out monthly by Olive Tree Ministries by Jan Markell. I don't know, she's on the radio around here. I think it's on Bot Radio on Saturday morning. And her main December article was, I think I might be behind. Let's see. Yeah, Olive Tree Ministries. And she had an article in December on her little magazine I get called The Top 10 Significant Stories of 2022. And I read through that list and I go, oh, wow, I need to share this. So that's what I'm doing today. She had a fine collection of things that have prophetic implications for our day, and so I wanted to bring it out for you and I today to consider. Now, let me give you the perspective of where we are, and so let's just start here. That's a timeline, and that little group of people, that's us. So here we have the death, the burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Then we have almost 2,000 years to come down to where we are. Now, the next thing that's going to happen prophetically for you and us as believers in Jesus Christ is the rapture of the church. And the scriptures make it very clear that Christ is going to step into the atmosphere. He's going to say, come up here, and we're going to join him in the air. And also, it's a resurrection. We're going to get new bodies. The people in the graves that belong to him are also going home back to heaven with him, and they get new bodies. So that's what we do. We all go back to heaven, all the believers on planet Earth. Now then, after that, at some point, which I don't think it'll be too far, but it could be a few years, months, we're not sure, there's going to be a tribulation time during this seven-year period. And at the end of that seven-year period, Jesus comes from heaven, and we call that the second coming, because on that one, he actually comes back and puts his feet down on the Mount of Olives. Of course, his first coming was when he came as a little baby at Bethlehem, and he went to the cross so that you and I could be forgiven of our sins. Now, we must be aware of this, that there are no signs that precede the rapture. So we're standing right here. There is absolutely nothing in this time frame before the rapture that goes, oh, the rapture is going to happen tomorrow or the next day or next week. There are no signs, not a one. However, the Bible tells us what the tribulation will be like, and if we see those things setting up in our culture today, then we must be very close indeed to the rapture. And so the Bible has just a lot of details about what goes on here in the tribulation time. And if we're starting to see the setup for these things back here where we are, then we know that we have to be getting really close to the rapture, which has to come first. You follow all that? Okay, go like this. Okay, don't want to lose you there. So we're going to be looking at things that are in the tribulation that we already see setting up here today. And that's why we know that we're very close to the time when Jesus is going to come back. I have to admit to you, I got way more material than I could possibly give to you, so I'm going to be skipping through this, and we'll keep moving so that I can get most of these in. I'm going to be reading some of what Jan Markell wrote and then adding to that, because I wanted these things to be really, really clear. So what are some of the signs of the end times? What are we seeing today that is going to be full-fledged and full force in the tribulation time? Well, let's start looking at this. The first one is going to be the rapid movement in world politics toward a global government. You know, Daniel 2, Daniel 7, Revelation 13, and other places says that in the last times, there's going to be a worldwide global government. We don't have that today. We have nations all over this earth. We have the United States and Canada and Mexico and Russia and Great Britain and France and Spain. But the day is going to come where all of those nations are going to be folded in to a global system of government. So there's going to be a government in one place that rules everything. That's what the Bible says is going to happen. Now, Jan Markell says much of this is coming out of the World Economic Forum. World Economic Forum. From now on, I'm just going to say WEF. And their leader, Klaus Schwab. The WEF is an international, non-governmental, and lobbying organization based in Switzerland. It was founded on in January 1971. It's funded by its members, and most of its members are very large corporations and businesses that do billions of dollars of business around the world every year. They view their mission as improving the state of the world by engaging business, political, academic, and other leaders of society to shape global, regional, and industrial agendas. Now, the WEF, the World Economic Forum, is mostly known for its annual meeting in Davos, a mountain resort in the Alps in Switzerland. By the way, that happens here in January, so you're liable to hear something about this in the news, because the meeting brings together about 3,000 paying members, top politicians in the world, investors, business leaders, economists, celebrities, journalists, and they get together for about 5 days and they discuss what they can do to make the world a better place. And at the top of their list is, we want a global government that will rule over the entire world. Their goal is a new world order, the dissolution of the national states like we have, and to have a one world government. Now, just to go into our own politics in this country, I'm wondering, you know, it was easy to see that our last president, Donald Trump, was very much criticized and hated. He was opposed. And I believe that one of the reasons is that he's promoting an America First agenda, which means he wants to stay a national country. We don't want to be a part of the global system. And I think everybody in the world is kind of working against him, and at least in that area of idea. Now, the world has been pushing toward this for at least the last 50 years. And you can go back and look that up for yourself. Many sites are going to call this a right-wing conspiracy. And indeed, if they're listening to this message, that's probably what they will call it. But, you know, if you go to their websites, you can read about it. So it's not that at all. It's just information they're putting out. Some of the code phrases they've operated under, and you've heard some of these in the last few years, one is called the Great Reset. The other one is Build Back Better. In other words, we want to change the way everything is being done. Now, I think it was a couple of years ago, maybe 2019, I think it was right before COVID really stopped a lot of the gatherings, the United Nations approved something called the 2030, hear the date, the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. It introduced a new universal agenda for all mankind. In other words, a scheduled approach to a one-world government. And when do they want it? 2030. How far away is that? What year are we in? So we've got about 7 or 8 years, right? And they want this to be in place. A lot of top people have given endorsement. That plan that they're trying to do bypasses the U.S. Congress and the legislatures of every other nation in the world. This is something they're going to pull off without a country being able to object. That's what they want to do. Here, I got this off the UN website. You can probably find it there. It says, on behalf of the peoples we serve, we have adopted a historic decision on a comprehensive, far-reaching, and people-centered set of universal and transformative goals and targets. We commit ourselves to working tirelessly for the full implementation of this agenda by 2030. Again, very specific in the date. In fact, I read through that article, and I found that the term 2030 was used 74 times. So that is the date they're shooting for to bring this one world global thing into existence. We're fast closing in on a one world government, just like the Bible tells us. It should not be a surprise at all. And that will be a dominant form of government in the tribulation time. And here we are, we're working hard to set it up. Now, the second thing that she had in her paper is government knows best. You should trust it. She writes, Jan Markell writes, there's been a mantra in the Western world for almost 3 years. Trust the government for vaccinations, to properly handle pandemics and other health issues, and to keep you well. Millions have bought into it. Millions are now transitioned from trusting government, and they will trust the Antichrist when he comes, because the Antichrist is the ruler during the tribulation. Do you know, World Values Survey, which they do like every 6 or 8 years, just taking the pulse of the people of the world, they found that fewer than half of the under 50s believe it was essential to live in a country governed democratically. So less than half the people believe in democracy anymore around the world, the younger people. In Germany, the U.S., and Japan, between 20 and 40% would opt for a strong leader who does not have to bother with parliaments and elections. Are we setting up for a dictatorship? Yes, we are. Because when we start believing that, we're in trouble. Revelation 13, verse 3 says, the whole world was astonished and followed the beast. And the beast is the devil's government during the tribulation time. And it said, men worshiped the dragon, that's Satan, because he'd given authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast and asked, who's like the beast? So at that point in the tribulation, they're enthralled by him. But I think that's going to change the longer it goes along. So government knows best, trust it. They've been pushing that on us now for a good 2-3 years, haven't they? Here's another one. There's going to be an increasing wickedness and anti-Bible behavior when we get into the last times. There we go. It's the stirring up of the spirit of the Antichrist. Jan Markell says, we all see the new lawlessness and rebellion in every aspect of society. Police forces are reduced. Criminals face no bail. That's Illinois, isn't it? That's who we're talking about here, one of them. And prosecutors encourage more lawlessness. The spirit of the Antichrist is everywhere in our government, in our schools, and more. And it's priming the pump for the real Antichrist. And you know, she's really right on that. We are moving toward wickedness in a profound way I never even thought was possible. But it's here. Biblical principles are being ignored. People have decided there's no truth and there's no God, and we're going to do what we want to do. And so now all types of unnatural sex is approved and encouraged. Now we believe in gender fluidity. You can be born a girl with girl parts, but actually be a boy in your head, or vice versa, the other way around. Girls can believe themselves to be boys. Boys can believe themselves to be girls. And you know, in the beginning, we laughed when they said that a man could give birth to a baby. Didn't we? I thought that was the silliest thing I ever heard. And it still is. But, you know, with their use of labels, you can call a woman a man, and then you can have a man have a baby. I just want to say that's pretty foolish, isn't it? Foolish. Now we have girls' sports being dominated by trans men. And girls' sports have been just ruined by this latest woke thing. Drag queens are being sent into schools and libraries. Now, they'll say, well, you know, there's so many kids out there that are sexually wired this way that the drag people will just help them to, you know, get through their young years. But that's not it. They're grooming them into more perversion, and we're going to see more and more of that. Those with children better be very careful to protect their kids. And the day may come when our kids are going to have to be pulled out of public schools in this area. I don't know how bad it is yet. A lot of folks will say, well, we're not facing that in Madison County schools, but you know that they've already tried to put the drag queens into the libraries in our area, and I read you an article about that somewhere in the fall. I wonder how soon before they're in the schools. I wonder how long before teachers and the very young grades have to start teaching kids just absolute perversion. But it's likely to come because of our state leaders at this present time. I'm reminded of Romans 1:28 that says, furthermore, since they didn't think it was worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, He gave them over to a reprobate, and actually NIV says, depraved mind. And a depraved mind does what ought not be done. It's what the rest of us is shake our heads and go, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? It goes on to say, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They're gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They're senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. And although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do those very things, but they approve of those who practice them. That's great evil. 2 Timothy, the Holy Spirit says, mark this, there'll be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love. They don't have normal kinds of love. We're there. Unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Having a form of godliness. There are going to be people in churches and spiritual leaders who come out and support this kind of garbage. But then they deny so they want a form of godliness. They want to be, oh, I'm a spiritual man. But they will deny its power. And what is the power God uses? It's the gospel. They will deny the fact that you're a sinner and you need to be saved, and it's the good news of the gospel. So they deny the basics of that, and that's really where we are today. You know, we should not be surprised by the evil in our land. We should not be. For the simple reason that when you follow God's way, you get peace, prosperity, wisdom, godly and good leadership. And when you don't follow God's way, you get chaos. You get poverty. You get foolishness. And you get corrupt leadership. And, you know, as a nation, we have chosen what we want, and we're all going to pay a terrible price for that. Because we keep electing the wrong people. We keep turning away from the living, loving God who can make our country and our nation function in the right sort of way. The scripture says in 2 Thessalonians 2:1, that don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come, and I think that's talking about the second coming of Christ, will not come until the rebellion occurs, and that's the rebellion where everything biblical is going to be turned away from. Everything God calls good, they're going to call evil. Everything God says is evil, they're going to call good. And that's what he's talking about. The rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. And that's the Antichrist, of course. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that's called God or is worshipped. And he'll set himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. He does that right at the halfway point of the tribulation. But then Paul goes on. He says, and now you know what's holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. So there's somebody holding him back. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. And I believe that's talking about the Holy Spirit and his work in people and through Christians to stop the wickedness of the world. But there's going to come a point at the rapture when God's restraining ministry through the Holy Spirit is removed, Christians are removed, and all of a sudden all of the devil's people are going to realize, oh, we can do anything we want. There's nobody to oppose us. There's not going to be any nays on this bill because we're all for it. Some sort of new evil that they want to do. Evil in that day will be completely loosed and overwhelming. And you can better believe and be glad you're not going to be here as a Christian, because it's going to be a wave of wickedness and things that we have not even thought about, probably, even yet. So wickedness, that's a piece of the end times. Here's another one, and this is the worship of Mother Earth. And I'm going to not spend a whole lot of time here because I got another one that's even more practical. The scripture says in Romans 1:25, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creation rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And we're seeing that. It's a massive move in our country to worship Mother Earth, Mother Nature. It came out in some really silly ways that I saw this week. In the fall of 2019, Union Theological Seminary in New York, and they've been denying the scripture for years, so it doesn't surprise me, but you see where the craziness goes. At any rate, they set up this area where they put a whole bunch of potted plants, and they urged their seminary students to go apologize to the plants for the way that we have mistreated the earth. You can laugh there. It's really weird. Not too long ago in Switzerland, 250 people showed up in full funeral garb to mourn what looked like the apparent approaching death of a glacier. So we got ice melting, it's going to fall off into one of the rivers there, and they're all sad and wearing their funeral garb. Okay, pantheism. We're going to the point where everything in nature is considered God and should be worshipped. And you shouldn't be surprised we're going to see more and more of that. Let me show you another one that really is close. Digital currency. How many of you ever heard of digital currency? Some of you have. Do you know that cash one of these days is going to go away? You're not going to have physical cash in your pocket. You are going to have digital money in somebody's computer somewhere. Okay? The reason this is really significant is Revelation 13, verses 16 and 17, which says of the Antichrist, he will also force everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. So there's a system coming that's going to be 666 in some way, but they're going to tell you what you can spend, how much you can spend. It's been put in a lot of different ways, but it's money that they can turn on and off. It's not like you can hide your cash, show up at an out-of-the-way store and buy something with it. you will not be able to buy anything because they have turned off your bank account there inside their computer. Do you know that about 10 months ago, on March the 9th, 2022, that our President Biden signed an executive order, 14067, on the development of digital assets? One of the fellows I read from time to time is a money expert. No, he's not been able to teach me much. I'm much too dumb for all this. But his name is Jim Rickards. He's one of the top money and financial strategy experts in the United States. And he wrote this, and I wish I had time to read the whole thing. I'm going to have to skip. But he says that thanks to Section 4 of Biden's Order 14067, ordering urgent research into developing the digital dollar, I believe the dollar, the standard of the world since 1792, will be replaced by a new currency, the digital dollar. That's fascinating because that's what the Bible says is going to happen. So it will at some point. These new electronic currencies, he says, are called CBDCs, or Central Bank Digital Currencies. He says, I like to call the digital dollar Biden bucks. Now, it's not like the money in your online bank account. This is different. Every digital dollar will be a programmable token like Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies. But here's the big difference. Cryptocurrencies are decentralized digital currencies. Nobody controls them. Biden bucks will have the full backing of the U.S. Federal Reserve. They will replace cash, the cash dollars we now have, and soon it will be the sole mandatory currency of the United States. He says, when they're rolled out, and there's a lot of people believe this, they will begin an era of total government control and surveillance. He says, I'm not exaggerating. He puts that right here in the text. This would dramatically expand the power and influence of the federal government, especially acting as a new type of spyware. They'd be able to force you to comply with their agenda, because if you don't do what they say, they will turn off your money. Sounds like biblical prediction, doesn't it? It won't be like freezing a bank account. It'll be so much easier. Biden bucks will be digital tokens programmed at the source. They could be turned on and off at will with just a keystroke, and they could be reprogrammed at any time. For example, they might allow us to only buy certain kinds of purchases. You want to keep your internal combustion engine car? Your digital dollars suddenly won't pay for gas. They'll say, no, you can't use it for gas. They'll force you to buy an electric vehicle. I guess if you can't afford one, you have to buy an electric bicycle. It wasn't in his article, but they were talking about the ability of the government to control what you snack on. If you walk into a convenience store and there's a big Snickers bar and you want that Snickers bar, and you'll come up to the cashier to buy it, and he'll look at the information that pops up after he scans it and says, no, Mr. Lemon, you're not allowed to have one of these. You're overweight, and so you had one last week and you've used up your quarterly allotment. You can't do this. You can't have it. Yeah. He says, and this is back in his article, they can force you to get vaccinated, force you into solar, force you to use less water or heat, stop you from purchasing certain items like guns, ammo, and survival supplies. They control to which candidates you're allowed to donate to. They'll know every single place that you spend money. That's his article. It's not me. That's him. And it's really fascinating to me that the Bible says in the tribulation time there's going to be a currency where they control what you can buy and sell and so on. Folks, we're right on the cusp of this. We really are. Just a couple more real quick here. The decline of the United States of America. USA is not mentioned in end time events in the Bible. What happens to us? Well, we'll know for sure, but we are definitely in decline right now. You're aware of that. And a lot of things have been going on. We're being weakened by the fact that we've spiritually, as a nation, turned away from God and the truth of His Word. We're weakened by the uncontrolled spending of money out of our governments. You know, in 1990, our debt in this country was $1 trillion. We finally got to $1 trillion. And I think in 1970, it was about half that. It was like $500 billion. By the time we get to 2009, we've increased that $1 trillion up to $16 trillion. And right now it stands somewhere around $31 trillion. Nations can't spend money like that and survive. So we're being weakened. We're being weakened by immigration over the southern border and so many other things. There's a couple other things that are really coming in fast. Global religion. Here's one statement they really like these days from a Persian poet that lived about 600 years ago. But he said, all religions, all this singing is just one song. So he says, everybody that sings in all their different religions, it's really the same song. The difference is just illusion and vanity. The sun's light looks a little different on this wall than it does on that wall, a lot different on this other one, but it's still the same one light. And so the Bible's, you know, we have a false prophet in the book of Revelation that's joining all the religions of the world into one. And we're just racing toward that. There's an incredible push today for a religion that fits the whole world. And, you know, it seems that the Pope is the one who's pushing this the hardest, which is odd in some ways. But Revelation 18 says that's what's going to happen, and everybody is going to be expected to be a part of it. You know, today they come along and they say, well, you know, Islam just worships Allah, and that's the same as Jehovah. It's just the Jewish people worship Jehovah, Yahweh. No, it's not. Go find a description of the Muslim God Allah, and it does not match the Christian definition of Jehovah or Jesus. And we've pointed out before that Islam says God is one, Allah is one, He has no sons. Now let's just see you put that up with the Bible and make the Bible say the same as Islam. Can't do it. They say that no religious book is better than any other religious book. So you have the Bible and the Quran and the Vedas of the Hindus. No, no, no. Our book is about a God who's been a work in human history and tells a story about a man who came out of the tomb after he'd been crucified. And it's not what we can do to please Him, but it's what He did to save us. And that's the big difference. Then the other... Another one I want to just throw out here is apostasy. Apostasy in the church, and she points this out. She says it would take a 300-page book to summarize the current state of the church now. In the last 2 years, thousands have gone woke. Many have gone to seeker-sensitive services, and she's talking about churches. Social justice has replaced salvation. Many teach that the church would make the world a better place, even perfect. The sheep, and as people are hungry for truth, the sheep are trying to find a solid church, one that talks about issues of the day and Bible prophecy. But many churches want to tell people they can have their best life now, and that's what a lot of some of the biggest churches in America and around the world are doing. 2 Thessalonians 2 says that day will not come until two things happen. First, there'll be a great rebellion against God, and then the man of rebellion will come, the son of hell. So we're in a place where we're departing in the church from the Word of God. And it's happening over and over, a great rebellion, a great apostasy, a great turning away. You know, doctrine has become not important. We don't want to study doctrine. But we need to, because it's truth from the Scripture. Major liberal denominations have declared Genesis to be a myth. There's no divine creation in 6 days. There's no Adam and Eve. There's no sin. There's no flood. They just copied from earlier religions, they say. They've cast doubt now for 150 years on the virgin birth and the importance of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. They don't believe the gospel is the only thing that can save people. And they say that man has a spark of the divine and doesn't need to be saved. And then also we see a massive day where church leaders and church denominations hate Israel, the very people of God. And God says, whoever blesses you, I'll bless, and whoever curses you, I'll curse. And yet we still curse them. Well, other illustrations here. Jan Markell writes at the end, she says, what do you think the last days would look like? Believe the Bible when it calls our times perilous and filled with people possessing reckless, selfish motives. God is orchestrating events to wind up this amazing drama known as the church age. The last act may be on display. Expect a trumpet and a shout any day. And I like to say amen to that. I think that's true. I think we're rapidly moving toward the tribulation period. And God's going to take his people home first. I don't know how much we're going to see of the chaos down here before he comes for us, but he's coming. And but if the stuff of the tribulation period is being set up right now, then how soon must his coming be? You know, an understanding that Jesus is coming should do something in our lives. John puts it this way in 1 John 3, and he's talking about Jesus coming back, the fact that we're God's kids, and he says, everyone who really believes this will try to stay pure because Christ is pure. So if we really do believe Jesus is coming back, it ought to do something in our lives to make us what Jesus wants us to be. So the time is short. What an opportunity for us. You know, what will it take for the rapture to happen? Well, some preachers have said when that last person gets saved, then the rapture can take place because the church is full. The bride of Christ is finished and everybody's in their place. So we need to get that last person saved so we can go home. I think that's important. As the sign back here says, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. If we want people saved, we got to get them the message now. So pray for people in your world and take the chance to share with them if you get the chance. And then that word we learned last fall one time, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. And he says, I'm coming soon. And if he wrote that down in AD 95, oh, by 2023, we're a lot closer. Well, God bless you as you think about these things. Father, thank you that Jesus is coming back soon. You gave us a lot of warning signs. You told us, and even as Israel should have recognized about the time Jesus would come the first time and when he would be born and when he would die, they should have understood that. But they didn't because their hearts were hard and they were blind. But you've given us so much more evidence that we're in the days before Jesus comes. And yet, Father, so many times we are sluggish of heart and blinded of eyes. Fire us up. Help us to understand nothing else really matters if Jesus is going to come this year. If he's going to come this month or these six months, who knows? We don't know. But he's all that matter. If he's coming that soon, and he could be. I pray that if there's folks here that really don't know Jesus as their personal Savior, now would be a great time for them, Father, to cry out to Jesus, because you don't want to miss the rapture. it's ugly after that. It's horrific after that. And I'd much rather have them go in the rapture with those who are truly born again. So I pray you deal with our hearts so that we might be really ready to go home. And thank you for that. And then help us and give us opportunities so that we might do the work of the Lord Jesus while we're still here. Thank you. It's in Jesus' name we come. Amen.